Is Mr. Ellison here now?
Yes, I am.
All right, you may take the chair. I'll put you next to the right here. Will you raise your right hand, please? You do solemnly swear in the matter now pending before this committee, you'll tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Here, Senator, I've been traveling a good deal about the country on various missions. I'm an artist, a singer. Also, I've been in the South and the West, all over helping and singing for certain charitable organizations. And coming to the bill, I see first is to protect the United States against so-called American subversive activities, I presume, since the United States doesn't exist in abstraction, and it means the people of the United States. That would be more or less all right, wouldn't it?
I would think so.
I'll get back to other sections of the bill. It says in the section 2, the second paragraph, that in the question of the necessity for the legislation, that it's necessary to establish and set up a totalitarian dictatorship in any country results in the ruthless suppression of all opposition to the party in power. This is what I'm interested in, this complete subordination of the rights of individuals to the state, the denial of fundamental rights and liberties which are characteristic of a representative form of government, such as freedom of speech, the press, assembly, religious worship, and result in the maintenance of control over the people through fear, terrorism, and brutality. I've been all over the United States speaking and attempting to speak, and I have been experiencing in our own country today this very thing of control over the people through fear, terrorism, and brutality. This is happening in all parts of this land. Now, it seems to me if we're protecting the people of the United States, that these protections are necessary from quite another point of view than I can see in their so-called necessity in this
well,
necessity.
Well, do you believe that they are
I'm saying these
entitled to protection even as provided
I just want to
in this bill?
And I also, again, want to say that it says that
he's the phone there. This man wasn't here. We let him into his place.
The complete subordination, the same paragraph, complete subordination of the rights of individuals to the state, the denial of fundamental rights and liberties and so forth. I think that this is a complete, for example, a definition, since our states are sovereign powers, so to speak, except for the rights delegated to the federal government. A complete description of, say, what happens to Negro people today in Mississippi, Alabama, and many other states of the Union. And the necessity for legislation, it seems to me, I will go into what I consider the constitutionality, denial of civil rights under this bill, in fact, to the whole question of the way we have placed this whole question in the bill. But it seems to me that the necessity for legislation that might concern, I suggest, with the committee today and for some time to come, that since in this bill, perhaps hundreds, thousands of Americans would like to speak on it, and that it should, that not only today, but perhaps in the future, there should be opportunity for that. But I'm tremendously interested, before approaching in detail this bill, just to ask you a question as to why, in the light of the terror that I've seen and the denial of rights, that the lynching bill is not sort of before the Senate at this time. It hasn't come out of the committee.
I couldn't answer that. I'm personally trying to get it out of the committee.
I think that that if there are any kind of activities that strike at the very basis of our democratic way of life, that this certainly should come out. Both parties have gone on record for the civil rights of the Negro people. And it looks as though you might get through without it. So I'm certainly hoping that this bill will come out, and perhaps even this bill could be put aside for the moment and extended later to see that these rights should be somewhat should be guaranteed. Now, as for a bill, I see it, the whole question of protecting the rights of the people of the United States, against the background, and the whole question of communism, for example, which is brought in every minute.
Mr. Robinson,
can I go on to my question? I'll answer that in just a second.
Are you a member of the
Federal Reserve? I will answer that in just a moment. Can I go on to my discussion?
Yes.
I will answer that. The whole background, I would say so, I would strike at the very root of the conception of what is in these first paragraphs. For example, the world movement with its origins and so forth. I mean, does Mr. Munt, or whoever framed the bill, understand that the origins of this kind of thing were in, say, the English Industrial Revolution and the time of Robert Owen, in the roots of the poverty of England, which was responsible for the English poor and indentured servants coming to build America itself? This didn't just spring up the other day in some part of Europe, a part of the whole struggle of human beings to improve their lot. One of the most important sections for myself being my own people here, the Negro people in America. So I see the whole framework of the bill, in reality, from my travels about this country and otherwise about the world, in a framework of what we understand as Americans, of what we mean by our democratic ways of life here, as expressed in this paragraph, that it means certainly from our own American history, from the beginning of our struggle for freedom from England, down through the Civil War which freed my own people, it means through the New Deal an extension. We mean an extension of the democratic rights and full citizenship to people who do not yet have them. That would include not only one-tenth of the population, the Negro people, it would include, for example, many of the Spanish-American people that I saw in Pueblo, Colorado a few months ago, perhaps living in hovels under the ground. It would include many in the fruit fields of California, in the whole deep south and all over America. But in approaching this whole problem of the struggle today in Europe and elsewhere, what has happened in 1970 in Russia, what's happened in Yugoslavia in many places, it has to do with trying, with millions and millions of people who are denied very basic rights, economic, social, and political, of building, of trying to build a decent way of life. Against it have been many forces, the most important of which we joined hands against, the forces of fascism. Now, in going about America today, I say that those, when I was in Kansas City and I see the police beating workers over the head because they want a decent living, terrorizing the Negro people in West Virginia and all over, I say these are the essence of Isaac trying to stop the struggle of the people to get the democratic rights which they don't have. And I would go so far as to say that I feel I've been in the Mr. Munn State in South Dakota. I was attacked by him once when I sang there. But in the whole discussion, we can take it up in detail, of defining what is a communist party, what is a front organization, and what has happened in fact throughout America, where they have terrorized people from joining any kind of liberal struggle. Just a second. That this bill has, seems to me, to have as its basic idea not to help the people of the United States or any other people, but to actually stop the struggle by terrorizing people to get rights for Negro people, for workers, and for other Americans who still haven't full citizenship.
Have you read the bill, Mr. Robinson?
I have read the bill.
All right. Now, Section 4, Paragraph 1. The certain acts that are prohibited are in Section 4.
Well, they've been
the other right, is merely registration.
No, but you can't dismiss the rest of the bill.
Well, I'm not dismissing it. I'm talking about that part.
Yes, okay.
Do you believe that it should be unlawful for anyone to attempt to establish in the United States a totalitarian dictatorship, the direction and control of which is to be vested in or exercised by or under the domination or control of any foreign government?
We have
foreign organization or foreign individual?
We have laws to take care of.
But wait a minute.
Of course not, sure not.
You think that that should be the law?
Sure, that's all. We have laws to protect that. We have laws to protect that.
What is the law
now? We have plenty of laws to take care of any people who would attempt to overthrow this government.
No, but what is
Mr.
the...
Mr. Hoover can take care of that.
Wait. That's by force or violence, the Smith Act that you're talking about.
Okay.
Well, this isn't by force or violence. You could do it by other means.
What other means?
Well, penetration.
You don't think that Yugoslavia wasn't taken over by the communists, do you, Mr. Upson?
I certainly do not. I think the Yugoslav, I say this is very basic.
In Czechoslovakia?
No, by no means. Let's check Czechoslovakia.
Yeah.
Czechoslovakia. You can check this up. I happened to be in Czechoslovakia in 1945 singing to American troops at the very end of the war. I, as a singer, was called in by the American military to sing to some Czechs at a big party. And I had been in Prague before the war, and I speak the language a little bit. And I was trying to find out who these Czechs were. So finally, a woman comes up to me and said, I'm Countess so-and-so-and-so, and I met you in Chicago during the war. I said, you were in Chicago during the war, I understand. And I suppose you expect to... And it occurred to me that maybe she was back in Czechoslovakia to get back a couple of those castles, which had been taken away because those who owned the castles had helped the fascists. All I can say is, and I say this, and I can be called up again on this, I felt that I saw the American military. The only Czechs in the room happened to turn out to be Czech collaborationists and Sudeten Germans. And I would say that the Czech people probably made a decision that under no pressure, even American pressure, would they accept the restoration of Czech fascism, that they, if they were made to choose, they would choose the other way. That's what I would suggest.
So you
as far as Yugoslavia, it seems to me, I was in Yugoslavia, and I saw the Yugoslav peasants suffering exactly like the Negro peasants suffered in the South. Only they weren't one-tenth of the population, they were perhaps nine-tenths of the population. And so when we helped them destroy fascism, including King Peter, whom we now seem to have in this country, floating around, I know he was a boy there in London, saw him around there, I think that that what has happened in Yugoslavia came from the struggles of the Yugoslav people who, with our help, were able to take the power. And as far as I can see, Senator, they're going to keep it.
Right. Mr. Upson, what is an American communist?
You define that. I consider an American communist. For example, I know one. He grew up with me. We came up together. He went to Amherst. I went to Rutgers. I was interested in that because Judge Stone, I took law at Columbia University. He was the dean of personal property at the time. He was an Amherst man who played football. We used to talk about this. Now, this fellow grew up with me, was born in Georgia, went through all sorts of, as a Negro boy, injustices and injury to his dignity every 5 minutes. He came north, went to Harvard Law School, and a dear friend of mine through all my life, still is. He is today on the city council of New York City, a man who is fighting and has made a tremendous struggle for the rights of the Negro people in Harlem and all through the United States. And I know no American that I'm prouder to know, and he is an American communist on the earth.
All right. Now, what do they stand for? What do they stand for?
They stand, as far as I can see, for complete equality of the Negro people in America, which I would like to see in every respect. It might interest me even to know, but in going about the country, I asked university students, when did they think that the Negro people would be completely free in America? Like anybody else, not special freedoms, economic, some kind of special freedoms. They said to me, 1,000 years. 1,000 years. So I'm interested in a party and in people who like in the Scottsboro case, who risk their lives, who make every effort of any possible kind to see that the Negro people secure their rights, so the forces of labor...
Do you think that's what communism stands for in America?
It stands for me. Look, I say, that's my basic point, sir.
Well, that's what I want to
say. My basic point is... Wait, let's just wait a minute. Where did communism come from? I'm taking from the first paragraph. It started against the background of the sufferings of the English people in the mills, in the great industrial revolution. Which resulted in the slavery of my people in America. Now, in this struggle, can I say something? In this struggle, as I would put it, of the few against the many in history, that is, why did we found the American government? What happened? Why did Cromwell come over in England in 1620, 1640? Because he said no divine right of kings. And in order to see that in English history, they had to chop off Charles's head. And we had to have a revolution in 1776. We had to have a civil war to see that somewhere people begin to get their rights. So the French Revolution. So I see history as a struggle of the great mass of people to some way get some fair return for their labor and a decent chance to live.
Yes,
now, this is what's going on in America, sir.
Yes, let's get down to what American communism...
Well, I'm saying, to me, they are a part of this whole struggle
The interest, so I can only define it against this background.
Right.
You can't say one breath sentence that it's American communism, offshoot of Russian communism.
Well, that's what I want to know.
I say, no.
What is Russian under the domination?
I say, what is Russian communism an offshoot of? Did Marx or Lenin or did this spring out of the head of the painting? No. These came out of the social conditions of Europe. Now, in communism began in England, not in Russia.
Well,
and let me say, Senator Carson,
are you an American communist?
Just let me finish the point. I'll answer the question. Now, in Scandinavia today, they have decided to solve these problems of all the resources of the nation being in the hands of a few people by cooperative methods. That is, the General Electric, which controls electricity in this country, they more or less put them out of Sweden by cooperative means. In England today, they have taken over the railroads, coal, banks, by socialist means. That is, by public ownership. Now, this oughtn't be any mystery to the American people. We have TVA. New Zealand is a socialist country. This is a part of the struggle of people to get control of some of the wealth instead of leaving it in the hands of a few. I see communism as nothing but an extension of great public ownership of the main means of resources, like the railroad workers said the other day. The coal mines, if they're that important, Senator, to the United States, that every time there's a national emergency, this is life or death to the American people, doesn't it occur to you that instead of beating the workers on the head, that maybe the government should own the railroads and the coal mines? Well, this is a whole struggle of which communism is a part. This is a part of the conceptions of the struggles of human beings for ages. And you can't move communism out anywhere in the world.
Well, then, do I understand?
So American communism is, you might as well say, is what's American socialist?
Well,
what's an American Democrat?
American communism is part of the Russian system.
No, but do you know that American democratic principles stem directly from the French Revolution and our own revolution? They are very revolutionary ideas.
Right.
In fascist Greece today, these are very revolutionary.
Mr. Robson, let's get down to some of the facts in the bill. Now, I asked you the question, you said you'd answer it. Are you an American communist?
Today, Senator Ferguson, that question has become the very basis of the struggle for American civil liberties. 19 or more, and many of the most some of the most brilliant and distinguished Americans are about to go to jail for failure to answer that question, and I'm going to join them if necessary. I refuse to answer
the
question.
You refuse to answer.
This is an invasion of my right of secret ballot, Senator Ferguson. If you want to know whether I am the Communist Party's a legal party, like the Democratic Party, Republican Party, I'm going to vote pretty soon. If you want to send some government official to take my ballot away, a secret ballot, my constitutional right, he can see just what I am.
I see. Have you a communist card in any communist organization, any state, Mr. Robson?
That is, I consider, a part of the other question that I refuse to
answer. Yeah, I see.
And it's a party plan that doesn't disclose it.
That's what I want to
say. I don't know. Maybe if I were Republican, maybe I wouldn't disclose it either. I would say, come to the ballot box and see it. I'm not just doing what the Republicans do. All I know, the Communist Party is a legal party in the United States. And making a magnificent struggle on many fronts.
I mean, communists just members of
well, I say, since you've met, because you, we,
they,
today, you have made this goes to the very heart of the bill. I say that this whole hysteria, and the bill is a part of that hysteria, to use this, not only to break, not to hurt communists, but really to break the civil liberties of every section of the American people. The rights of labor, the rights of liberals. This is a very basic.
You know something about the communists of America. You know something about the communists of America.
I have many dear friends.
Yes.
It's perfectly true.
And you know.
I think they've done a magnificent job.
But isn't, yes. You think they've done a magnificent job in America. That's your opinion.
That's my opinion.
And do you know that it is a fact that they, outside of their membership, decline to disclose that they are communists?
Well, I think that they might be. This can be determined. The Supreme Court's going to have to rule on that, I think.
But no, isn't that a fact? Among themselves, they decline to make it public that they are communist or not communist.
I would say that if it weren't a basic problem of civil liberties that goes to the very heart of the struggle, in which the denial of these civil liberties, of which I believe this bill to be a part, that's the reason I'm here. This would not be so at all.
Have you ever been to Russia?
Oh, yes.
And have you studied in Russia?
Oh, no, never studied there. I went there as
an artist. You never attended any of
as far as that's concerned, you don't have to rush to read Marx or Lenin.
No, I understand.
They didn't give it to me at Rutgers instead of I went to college, but I read it.
Yeah, but you've read it since.
That's right.
You didn't study in any school in Russia.
No.
Do you know?
I was purely as an artist. I knew nothing about them. I first met 1934, nothing about them.
Do you know the head of the Communist Party in Russia, Mr. Stalin? Do you know?
No, I never met Mr. Stalin.
How much time have you spent in Russia?
I was there for over a period, let's say between 34 and 37. I was there 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months. What is much more interesting, I should think, Senator, is that my boy went to school there for 2 or 3 years.
My one boy?
Because I found in Russia a complete absence of race prejudice.
Yeah.
A complete absence.
What's the name
of the school? The first time in my life, Senator, that I was able to walk the earth with complete dignity as a human being. So I took my boy there. He's now at Cornell.
Yes.
And let me tell you what happened.
What age was he?
He was 8 or 9 years old.
Well, he was just a
boy. Very important age, incidentally.
Yes?
Very important.
What school did he attend?
He went to a school in Moscow, a public school. Public school.
Yeah.
Now, he's in Cornell. He's been back in America many years, went to high school. But in Russia, from not experiencing this race prejudice, today in America, he's going to fight for his people and fight in the progressive section of American life with a much easier than I can, for example. Because if somebody would suddenly call me a name here in the room, I don't think I would do anything about it, but I'm sure I'd have a tendency to get up and want to knock the guy down. Now, he has no feeling of any kind of that, because he knows that he lived in a part of the world where there was no such thing as color prejudice. So he's going to be able to make a very important contribution, I think, to American life.
This is what it did for him.
That's the reason he went.
Do you know whether or not the American communist owes any allegiance to the red flag?
As far as I know, the Supreme Court has been put up only once.
They refused
to pass on it.
No, I'm asking what you know.
Why would they? Why that? As far as I know, the American communist is interested in improving, as far as possible, certainly, the lot of the people here, of the people who suffer, as well as in other parts of the world where this becomes a common struggle.
Do you know whether or not the American communists believe in world revolution?
That I don't know.
You don't know that.
That I don't know.
And do you know whether they do believe in allegiance
like
to the Communist Party or communism in Russia? That they owe allegiance to.
I would say no to anything I know about it. I don't think they have nearly as much allegiance to Russia as certain Americans seem to have today, say, to a fascist Greece or to Turkey or to Abdullah Transjordanian.
You have addressed communist meetings in America, have you?
President Winston gave a definition of this, that of the concentration of power in a few hands in the struggle of the New Deal against the so-called economic royalists, in which he defined this concentration of power as the essence of fascism. I would like Mr. Hoover to be sure he's got Mr. DuPont tabbed and Forrestal and the people. This is very difficult because they are our government today. It isn't so easy to get to the basis of what might be potential American fascism. That's what frightens me. And I don't see enough about that in the bill.
Doesn't this bill cover dictatorship, whether it be fascist or communist?
You cannot say that. You cannot define fascism or communism by totalitarian dictatorship. I disagree with this again is misleading the American people. That is, during the wars.
What's your definition of fascism?
I would say, to me, the essence of fascism in two things. Let's take the more obvious one first. Racial superiority. The kind of racial superiority that led a Hitler to wipe out 6 million Jewish people, that can result any day in the lynching of Negro people in the South or other parts of America, the denial of their rights, the constant daily denial to any Negro in America, no matter how important, whoever it may be, of his essential human dignity, the thing which no other American would accept, this daily insult to his dignity as a human being. This is the essence of fascism.
The
most important thing, which is the reason this can be, is the power of the resources of a nation in the hands of the few, and the use of the state power, as Hitler or Mussolini or the police in Kansas City, to beat down any attempt to st- strive toward any kind of democratic rights or freedoms.
Even though that be law enforcement?
What's that?
Even though it be law enforcement?
I say, even though I would say this is the very essence of the thing, we
yes.
find always that law enforcement in this case is the protection of the property of the few people who are the potential of fascism.
Now, what is the essence of communism in America, in your opinion?
The essence, to my mind, of communism here anywhere is the, that is, every day I read in the paper, what does communism thrive on? All this kind of where you tell me, Senator, where would you expect to find your communists? Would you expect to find, say, that Mr. DuPont would be a communist?
Well, I think in America today we can expect to find them anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I would say that...
It isn't a question of wealth.
Oh, very much so.
You think so?
Not a question. I'm talking about not a question of wealth in this case.
Yeah.
A question of wealth where it comes like in America today, as far as that's concerned. Where in the end, take the South,
well,
and
then
you
would
take the South, you tell me who controls the wealth of the South.
See, you gave me...
Let me give you the point.
Well, wait a minute. You gave me the essence of fascism. Now, I'd like to have the essence of, communism.
Let me give it to you, because this came to my experience. I didn't make these things up. So I'm in the South. My father was a slave. A few weeks ago, I'm standing in North Carolina on the very soil on which my father was a slave. Now, then I go into the whole history of our civilization, so to speak. 100 million Negroes from Africa torn to pieces and died in the slave trade. On our backs in America, the very primary wealth of America built on our backs. Cotton, taken to the New England textile mills. What do we get from it today? Poverty, insult, inferior station in life, no opportunities. Who controls the wealth? A few people. Now, somewhere, to me, by whatever means, today, at certain times, like in our own history, these means have been revolutionary. In other times, evidently not. But somewhere to me, communism is interested in seeing that those people who are oppressed, who suffer, that somewhere they represent those people in their struggle toward the kingdom.
Now that's the essence of communism.
That's what I'm saying.
And the essence of communism here is the same as the essence of communism in Russia.
I would say it's the same.
Universal.
The essence, it has to do with the struggles of the Russian people against the Tsarist oppression.
All right. It's universal.
They were interested. Exactly like universal in this sense, Senator Burks. You see, I must stop you from. What is an American today? And here's what I mean, an American here. So you try to link every American who believes something with this country or that country. Now, Mr. Marshall is on record today that we are no longer Americans, Senator Ferguson. We are defending Western civilization, whether it's in Italy, Greece, even in Turkey. They've become the great defenders, strange to say, of Western civilization. Now, we as Americans today are in a world, some kind of world struggle, which we are no longer Americans, we are a part of the world. So you can't isolate us in this sense. Now, I say to Mr. Marshall, and I say as an American, I was in Europe. Now, if there are Americans who want to support Franco in Spain, let them go ahead. I was in Republican Spain singing for troops who were fighting against Franco.
Mr.
You understand?
This law
has nothing to do. You can't do it. No, I don't see the American communist doesn't. He's an American, as far as I know.
If this law
it's like
is
we were,
passed...
In Jefferson's time, he was an American, not a Frenchman. What I see.
If this law is passed and the Supreme Court holds it constitutional, do you believe that it should be lived up to?
If this law is passed?
Yes. Or any law passed. And,
well,
and
I say, I think this law, I sincerely hope the Senate will pass it, and I'm sincerely hope that the Supreme Court will declare it unconstitutional.
But if they do, you then believe that the people should live up to it?
Well, I'm sure that... I would live up to it in every possible in by trying in every possible way to have it taken off the books.
Well, but wouldn't you live under it? Wouldn't you say that it was the law and therefore it was binding upon you?
Nobody's arguing that point.
That's what I mean.
Nobody's arguing that point.
Well, Mr. Foster told us Saturday, Friday, that he would not obey it if it was.
In what
the
sense
law.
Would he not obey it?
Just he wouldn't obey it.
What do you mean he wouldn't obey it?
Well, I don't know what his thinking was, but he said that he would not obey it. He didn't believe that it should be obeyed.
But he
didn't register.
Neither
would
I register.
Well,
then
you would violate the law.
Well, then I would violate the law.
Oh, I see. So then you would violate the law, and you would feel
I would say, this to me, I would fight as a... I would really fight it as a... as a real piece of American fascism.
Well, you see, what I'm talking about is after it's declared constitutional by the Supreme Court.
Let me
would defy it.
Now, let me put it this way, Senator. Let's suppose a Frenchman at a certain time is now faced with a law passed by Vichy. Would you expect that Frenchman to observe it?
Under the former Vichy government?
That's
no,
right.
It wouldn't be the law.
Why not?
Because
they were France at that period.
Yes.
They were the government of France.
There's a new government there now, and they have...
No, I'm not talking about at that time. Would you have expected those men who helped our American boys come up and destroy...
Well, is that the way you classify this law?
I would classify it exactly in that category.
I see. Then you would not...
As a fascist act.
Then you would not obey.
That's right. As an anti-fascist, I would not obey.
Yes.
Now, you recited here that your father was a slave.
That's right.
You are now independent.
Am I?
Independent. Well, now you wait like
it. The Senator gets his question.
You are independent economically. You occupy a high position in American society. You're proud of it. You've been of service in many ways. Now, that's all been achieved in one generation. Can you think of any other country on the face of the earth where such an opportunity has been?
Yes.
What is it?
I would say that...
Russia?
Yes, I would say that... Not one.
Now, you don't mean to say that Russian people have any opportunity at all to be anything more than slaves, do you? You said a while ago...
Infinitely more opportunity, Senator.
You said a while ago you approved of communism, approved of communism for the D system.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
They've liberated the whole people. In many countries.
Liberated the whole people. They've liquidated them mostly.
No. Not nearly have they liquidated as many as the Negroes were liquidated in slavery, or could be liquidated today in many parts of the South.
Well, now there's nobody being liquidated in America today.
Why should the lynching bill be on the calendar of practically now? Anti-lynching bill.
Well, I don't know why it should be.
Why all this excitement about civil rights if they aren't necessary?